another.
Right, brilliant.
So the important thing is, can you, will you be able to afford one? And the other question is, when will they be available? I want to start with perfect image is always not going to be very good because of radiation damage. So this is a perfect detector. It's a ribosome, so whether it's a perfect sample depends on your bias. But no matter what you do, your images are never going to get anywhere near as good as that. But you can't do that. Radiation damage stops.
We can't hear you.
Can you?
I think maybe you use this.
How's that?
Is that any better?
Oh, God. Right, is that any better? Okay. So it's a ribosome. Perfect image, simulated image of a ribosome with 20 electrons per pixel. No problems with water, no signal for that. That's as good as your image is going to get with a perfect detector. So they're never going to be, you're never going to get nice images. Why are you never going to get good images? It's because radiation damage. Radiation damage means you cannot use many electrons. Because you can't use many electrons, the parameter that you care about is detective quantum efficiency, not MTF. So if you take an image here of a Falcon 2 of a grid, it looks blurred and horrible. And that's because the Falcon 2 doesn't have a very good MTF. If you had took an image with a K2, you get a nice sharp image. But if you take the Fourier transform of that and look at the spots, you'll see that the spots go out and they alias back. So DQE tells you the signal to noise that you can achieve on these spots out in the frequency. So the Falcon has a high DQE, so despite the fact that these go out and get weaker and weaker because of the MTF is telling you how weak they get, it has bad MTF, so they should be very weak, but yet you can see them very clearly well above the background noise. So that's the sign of a good DQE. So what do we have now? We have K2 Summit, Falcon, direct electrons D20, and film. We seem to all of a sudden be having lots of maps with side chains, beta sheets, and all that. So we've got high resolution, we can get into smaller particles with fewer particles. And part of this is due to that we've just moved from there to there. At higher frequencies, spatial frequencies, the change is not that big, really. But it seems to have made a massive effect. Film wasn't that bad. It had high DQE. It had a huge field of view. It was a great archival media. This is something that if you're collecting frames, you'll start to realize that, where do I put all this stuff? But what film had was a finite fog level. It had 0.08 OD fog level. That meant to achieve the high OD, high DQE, you had to always work at optical density 1. You couldn't work higher because you worked into the non-linearity of the film, but you had to work at OD 1. That means you can't do frames. It also determined what magnification you had to work on the microscope because you had a certain charge you could put per square angstrom through your sample. So to get the OD on 1, OD 1, that was how many electrons you had to put onto the film. So it was quite limiting. And then I could recite many, many, many other reasons why film is not very good. The smell of the developer, scanning, the no instant feedback. So the world seems to have settled on monolithic active pixel sensors as the way to go. These are made by standard CMOS technology, which when I say CMOS, it's not complementary metal oxide semiconductors device, but it's a wafer with a substrate, a high purity epi layer, and then your diodes and your transistors fabricated onto the top with some passivation layer. So you have an electron come down through your electronics into this epi layer, which generates a signal of electron hole pairs. The holes just migrate off to the P substrate and disappear. The electrons get trapped in this channel, and then they migrate to an end diode. And then These are charged up, and then as the electrons drift along to them, they discharge. So, unfortunately, electrons come in, they bounce around, and they come back out. This is a big problem with detectors, and it's why you want to back thin. Unless you back thin, they come back. These ones here are traveling slower, so the rate of energy loss per unit traveled of these electrons is much higher, so you actually get a big signal here that has no information at all, apart from the fact that there was an electron arriving on your detector. There's no spatial information in that electron. So your detector must be back thinned. So don't buy a Falcon 1. Falcon 2, direct electron, or K2 detectors. The electron detector also has to be mounted carefully, because electrons come in, go through, then they've got to go somewhere. Electrons are very light. They don't lose their energy very easily because they can't transfer it to a nucleus because it's too heavy, so they just bounce off. They lose their energy by exciting the outer electrons in metals or in substances, so that's only 20 eV a time. You've got 300 keV electrons. If a 300 keV electron hits lead or gold, it's got a 50% chance of just bouncing straight out. So you've got to be very careful what you have underneath. So you have to put, the best thing a lot is to have a lot of distance underneath, and then the inverse square law helps you, and they won't come back to your detector. So you need something underneath like carbon or beryllium or something underneath that absorbs them. You also actually have to be careful at the top end as well, because any stray electrons up here will actually bounce around and come down into your detector, and you can play spot where's my beam by putting the beam around the flue screen, and if you've got something like an F30. And you can say, oh, okay, now I'm on a piece of lead, now I'm on aluminium, now by just looking at the counts that have suddenly appeared on your detector that had nothing to do with where you were, you know, there was no illumination on the detector, but you can see this background count. The MAPS detectors record enormous signals for electrons. This is the beauty. You can see individual electrons beautifully. This is a DE20. You can see individual electrons, but you can also see that they're not all the same. This is a Falcon 2, and this one is a K2, individual frame of a K2. So, go back. The DE20's got the best signal to noise. And you can use all of them in a counting mode if you really want to. The thing is, the K2 is the only one that's fast enough to make this practical. But actually, the DE20 would work really well. The Falcon 2 suffers from having too much signal, so therefore the electronics didn't have to be very good. And when you count your bottom feeding and you care about what the signal to noise is, so the Falcon 2 is not very good for counting. Falcon 3 is okay for counting because they've improved the electronics as well as making the chip thinner. Okay. All these detectors are better than film. They all can collect movies. They all can be used in counting mode. Which one should I buy? I'm not sure. Yeah, that's not even a 64. That's a $400,000 question. If we compare the K2 and the Falcon, and stand on it, we see that the K2 is better at low spatial frequency and the Falcon is better at higher spatial frequency. So that was just the crossover in the previous plot. I just chose that point and plotted on the tone rings. So low resolution is better on the K2, but low resolution information is actually normally more radiation hard. So you can actually use a higher dose on that part to get better signal to noise. However, if you've got a small particle, you want to get the best DQE for looking at that. So you put all your spatial frequency information of your particle onto the low spatial frequency of the detector by cranking up the magnification. If you crank up the magnification, you have no field of view, so you need a good sample prep. Of course, for tomography, tomography is always working in this region, so the K2 is a nice tomography. One thing about the Falcon is that it's got not a very good MTF. So people are now getting used to seeing tone rings from the K2 that look beautiful when they go way out. Whereas with the Falcon, you actually have this power spectrum, which is, this is a logarithmic plot, so that's two, that's down by a factor of 100 when you go from center out to Nyquist. The MTF doesn't affect the information content of the Falcon 2, so you can actually sharpen it up. So you can noise whiten this. And if you noise whiten it, the Falcon MTF's tone rings look just like the K2 ones. So all you have to do is divide by a normalized noise power spectrum. In fact, it's not quite, you can just take a lot of images and generate a noise power spectra and then normalize that, then flip it over and multiply it by your power spectrum to achieve this result. But this is achieved with actually a one-dimensional plot, and then it includes the aliasing factors. So this is less than 1% variation across that on the noise. So the Falcon is quite understandable in how it behaves. The bad MTF is just due to charge carriers being generated and then drifting in a very thick epi layer. That does not lose information, it just acts as a low-pass filter. And a low-pass filter before an analog-to-digital converter is a good thing. Cuts out aliasing of high frequencies. So this was pre-rated carbon with 1.4 angstroms. This is 2 angstroms out at Nyquist. Are better detectors really needed? We've got used to seeing beta sheets and side chains. Will they now enable us to even see more clearly beta sheets and side chains, even higher resolution, even smaller particles or fewer particles? First of all, go back. Why has there been this big jump in structure resolution? You've got film was a pain to use. There are lots of reasons. The first reason is the detectors actually have got better. They have got a better DQE, so that's giving us better structure. You've got better software. Shaw's Relion has improved. All the other packages have improved as well as a result. You've got much better computers. Because you've got better computers, you can use better algorithms. You've got better samples because you can see more with your detectors and the better software to getting better resolution with the faster computers. Then you see that your sample's not so good, so you go back again and produce better sample. And then it goes around again. So it's all feeding back. You've got better ways of processing images. You've got movies. You can chuck away the first frame because it's just being wasted by movement. You've got more data. With film, you might have got 100 images. If you're really lucky, you'd take 100 nice images, develop them, and not very many of them were any good. With EPU on a microscope or a dedicated person, you can take several hundred to 2,000 images in a day. This is completely different, so you can mine that data for the information you want. And another reason is now there's cultural expectations. You're not going to be able to publish a 7 angstrom map. Your referees say, why didn't you do it properly? And ignore the fact that it could be an immensely difficult biochemical project. Okay. Are better detectors possible? Well, they are. FEI have actually introduced Falcon 3, which is what they've done is they've properly backthinned it for the first time. So before, the Falcon 2 was backthinned to a thickness that they could reliably make. But under pressure, probably from K2's performance, they've pulled out and backthinned it to a much better thickness. This results in a jump in the average, the DQE from 0.5 to 0.6. So now, instead of the K2 being better out there, the K2 is better here. And it has to be said that the K2 result that this is based on was done at 1 electron per pixel per second, which is much lower than what you would use in practice. So the K2 performance will actually be lower than that in practice because of coincidence events. So the other thing about back thinning more is that now the detector works at 200 kV. Falcon 2 didn't work very well at 200 kV because it was too thick. So 300 kV electrons go straight through the detector, 200 kV runs backscatter around and then led to a drop. So 200 kV started here and went down here, which was disappointing. Whereas the K2, because it's a smaller chip, Gitan obviously back thinned theirs much better from the start. So Falcon 3 is good. In fact, it's probably as good as you're ever going to get with an integrating detector. So the future is in counting detectors. But you want your counting detector to be better than any integrating detector. So until the counting detector is better than the Falcon 3, over all spatial frequencies, there's still some room to get work. What's the problem with detecting 300 kV electrons? Room temperatures of 40 eV, these are 300 kV, enormous difference in energy. What I mentioned before, that electrons are light. They don't give up their energy easily because they can't transfer momentum. So a 300 kV electron coming in here to something that's 25 microns of silicon across here will bounce. They can go 400 microns before they lose their energy. And they lose, this is where they're leaving their big signal, right at the end where they stop. And this is experimental. If you lower the dose on the detector, so there's essentially one electron per frame, take a few hundred frames and try and find an electron, you find some of them look like this. So they come in, hit, and bounce along. That, you cannot do anything about that. That's how electrons behave. Silicon is 28 mass times 2,000. It's huge compared with an electron. So this comes to the reason why you can't get any better with an integrating detector. It's basically, some electrons leave a small signal, some of the electrons leave a big signal, some leave tracks. They're all quite different. This is conveniently fitted to what's called a Landau distribution. So actually, the results of the DE20 Falcon K2 Summit can all be scaled onto the same distribution, which, given that this distribution has nothing to do with the physics involved of energy loss at 300 kV, has very little to do with the way that Landau derived the distribution based on extremely minimum ionizing particles going through a very thin detector, losing their energy by Rutherford scattering. This is electrons are going through the silicon, losing their energy, 20 eV a pop, and then they're not going necessarily through, they're bouncing around. But when you count up all these ones, count how much energy is in the signal is in the background, and put them on the plot, they scale onto this distribution. So this distribution acts as noise. You have a signal, you put in one, you get one plus or minus integration over this probability distribution. Unlike film, we had a fog level, which was limiting your noise. Direct electron detectors are limited by this distribution. And this is why you have to go to count. You can't get around this. Some of them are going to leave big signals. Some of them are going to leave small signals. The ones that have the most high resolution are actually the ones with really small events because they've gone through and they haven't scattered much. They've just left a little bit of energy. But they're right at the bottom, whereas the ones that are large have left you a big signal, but they don't actually have much information in them. So another feature that's different about counting electron, if you count and you find an event and you put it in one pixel, if you take the power spectrum of that, it's flat. So the K2 Summit's power spectrum is basically flat. I haven't used any equations, so I haven't mentioned what DQE is. I've just said it as DQE. DQE is signal to noise out divided by the noise out, and the signal to noise in is the same. So if you're comparing detectors, all you care about is the signal to noise out by the noise of that detector. So The signal is proportional to the MTF, so the signal squared is proportional to the square. So here we have a K2 in super resolution mode, a K2 in non-super resolution mode. When you go to super resolution mode, you can improve the MTF because you can find out where it landed more accurately. Now, that's the signal. So the signal squared is given here. So with the Falcon has a really bad MTF, you square it. But now if you look at the noise is given by the solid line in these curves. The Falcon, you put every event into a single pixel, so it has a flat power spectrum. The K2, the K2 is the flat noise power spectrum. The Falcon, the noise power spectrum, is actually just multiplied by the MTF squared. So these... The signal is proportional to the MTF. The signal is proportional to the MTF squared. The noise power spectrum here is also proportional to the MTF squared. What? It's electrons landing on the detector. It's white noise. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. So this is just white noise on the detector. Apart from the MTF, of course, is measured by an edge. So with the Falcon, the noise and the square of the signal track each other, so that's why the DQE was flat. With the K2, the MTF is very important because the noise is flat, so the DQE depends on the MTF squared. So it's really important to get a high MTF. So super resolution to get the higher MTF is important. Counting is actually hard. It shows up every defect in your chip. It just magnifies them. And you always have these coincidence events. If one electron lands next door to the other one, you can't tell if that's a big event or these are just random blobs put in with weight one. You can't tell if that, within a real detector, you couldn't tell if that was two events or one event, and you get other ones over here you wouldn't be able to tell in practice. And you can't distinguish multiple events. This is a coincidence loss. This drops your DQE. And this is what here has done. This picture is sort of simulated at 5 electrons per pixel per second on a K2 running at 400 frames a second. So counting is hard. Gatan have done a very good job. So their raw frames have a lot of features in them. They have worked really hard to get their result. But can you do better? It's not better than the Falcon 3 in integrating mode. You must be able to do better. So the first thing you do is you thin it down even more. You thin it to the absolute maximum. So then you get at least, hopefully, things that are trying to backscatter, have nowhere to backscatter, and they disappear. You have better algorithms. It's actually not a good idea to stick all your signal into one pixel. You've estimated where the electron landed. By putting it in one pixel, you throw away most of that information. It's better to weight it, say, even with a Gaussian, just weight it over the neighboring pixels. If you do that, you end up with an MTF on your curve that's no longer as sharp. Your noise power spectrum is now flattens off, but you can, if you want nice flat noise power spectrums that you got used to, you can noise whiten again for those. But the ratio of the signal squared versus the noise increases towards Nyquist and you improve your DQE. So better hardware is the other way of doing it. If you eliminate noise around the particle, you can possibly estimate where the electron landed better. You also can choose the hardware for what the events look like. So you can change the pixel size, the epilayer thickness, the type of sensitive layer to tune it for what you want to get. So this is, just throw this up for three reasons. It's an old detector that I did some counting on years ago. The three reasons. First is, there's a radiation shield around the detector here, not very well aligned on the detector. But in the hair you see radiation damage. Non-radiation hard detectors damage instantly when you put a beam on them. So this damage happened after the first frame. There are two types of radiation damage you get in the detectors. 300 kV electrons will destroy your detector. They do knock-on damage, they will destroy the crystal structure. But long before that happens, you build up charge on any oxide, and that charge built up on the oxide changes the semiconductor properties. Positive charge left, you knock out an electron from the insulator, you're left with a positive charge. That positive charge then generates a layer of electrons in the semiconductor that then conducts and causes leakage currents to the diodes. So this is what's happening here. These have been damaged, they leak, so they look as though they've got signal. Sorry? Yes. Well, it's sort of permanent. You have to get rid of the charge. So at normal room temperature, it's really slow to get over the energy barrier into the oxide. So if you elevate the temperature, you can bring them back to life again. But knock-on damage is knock-on damage. You can't do anything about that. It's crystal disruption. So you may be able to bring them back. So if you've got a K2, you're probably used to setting it to 80 degrees and going away and coming back the next day, then doing a new gain correction. So what you're doing is trying to reset the damage that's been set in the oxide. The other point was huge signals from these electrons. They're 120 kV, absolutely enormous signals. This is actually a 25 micron pixel detector, which has a 25 micron thick epi layer, so it gave absolutely enormous signals. The other thing is the variability in the outputs. So that event gave 300, this event, one other event over here gave 1200, just the variability in those results. So what you can do with these, and you can play with different algorithms to see what results you get. So this is the MTF measured in normal integrating mode. When I went for counting mode, by various ways, trying any sort of centroiding, weighted centroiding, using an estimate where the center of the pixel is based on a lookup table of simulated events, so simulate a couple of million events for what they look like for the electron, then match your event to that lookup table, you got a better MTF. You also got a DQE at zero spatial frequency that went up. It went up to 90% at least, as being conservative. But if I used the centroiding algorithm, it petered out and actually got to Nyquist and it was no better than integrating. So that was actually disappointing. So the behavior of this detector is actually special. It's not the same as the Falcon. It's not the same as the K2. This is a big pixel detector with a big, thick, sensitive layer being used at a low voltage. What I'm trying to emphasize is there are different algorithms for looking at it to get better results. In this detector, you couldn't tell anything from the events. You couldn't tell, because of the pixel size, you couldn't tell anything. Because of the 120 kV, you couldn't tell where the electron started because it was scattering so much in 20 microns. And because of the thickness of the epi layer, the events were diffused out. But what did work in this case was just to say, oh, my events look like probability distributions. We'll renormalize them to one. Each event lands as a probability distribution. And that worked. That gave me a higher result. So I was happy with that. Fortunately, that doesn't work for the other detectors. But there are other things you can do with all the other detectors. So important thing is not to commit to FPGA, field programming gate arrays. That means you write it into firmware, which supposedly is reconfigurable. But what you do is you ask someone to program it into you, you give them a remit of what they're meant to do, they do that, it works, but then you say you want to change it, and then you have to bring your checkbook out, because then it costs you a lot to change any algorithm that's actually supposedly flexible in an FPGA. as I mentioned here, it's not a good idea to put your signal into a single pixel. You can use super resolution, that sort of is cheat's way of doing it, so then you put it in a quarter of a pixel. So that's the poor man's way of doing it, or you could just weight it. If you weight it, though, you move away from the world of 8-bit compression because you end up into putting bits and you can't compress your images. Every little defect on your detector hurts really badly. So you're looking for something that is a signal, and if you've got a big signal because of a defect or no signal from a defect, you get a gradient, and then you pick those up as events and you end up seeing every defect on your detector. You also have, as I said before, counting is bottom feeding. You've got the big events, that are fine, but actually you want to go down as low as you can, but you've got 16 million chances, so even at 4 signal or above your noise, you get lots of events. And then some pixels get hit by electrons and they become hot and they start giving you really strong signals, so you end up with these events that are quite easy to detect. This in detectors where the events, a true signal spreads across several pixels. They're very easy to detect because the hot pixel events are only in one pixel. Any real event is spread over several pixels. But because they're usually, you know, the average count of 20, of 10 or something, and you've got a count of 8,000, you know that that's rubbish, so you can filter those out. So that's not a problem. When you're doing the counting, there's actually, with a Falcon 3, there's about 4 rounds of filtering you have to do to the images before you can actually count on them, just to remove some background features. Okay, that's one way of doing it. Now let's go optimizing the design parameters. You've got the number of pixels, the size of pixel, and pixel design. Number of pixels, we want at least 4K by 4K. We want that field of view because our images are taken blindly. We want to be able to make sure we've got enough particles in our images. The size of the pixel, this is the Falcon 2, which is an enormous chip. It's amazing that a chip that size, you can actually produce enough of them without defects, or without too many defects. The K2 detector is probably more, and D20 are more like that size. The pixel design, there are lots of ways of designing those diodes and putting them in there. For cameras, there's a standard low noise floating diode pixel design, which works really well for light. It wouldn't last a second in a microscope. It would just be instantly destroyed, because it's got oxide layers around the outside. Other than that, what we've found is that pixel design doesn't actually make that much difference. Partly that's because we have reason with Falcon type detectors, there's a thick epi layer and things just diffuse around and find a diode. There's no need to choose the shape of that diode. The epi layer that they're diffusing around is very pure. Electrons have a mobility on that of millimeters almost. You have other choices as well, the technology. This is where you have the 0.35 micron technology, which was the Falcon was made with 0.35, which is old-fashioned imaging technology. There are also actually advantages of that imaging technology. Because it's 0.35, they can have higher voltage, so you can get bigger signals from it. If you go to 0.18 micron, which I think the K2 and the direct electron are made by Tower Jazz Fabrication, that has the advantage of less, I forget the phrase, that actually the lithography is done better. So your transistors and everything else have got less variation in their performance. So it looks better. If you want to go to the next flavor of the year is 65 nanometer. That looks as though it's going to be even better, but the prices go up exponentially. So whether anyone can actually afford to get a bespoke 65 nanometer detector made for what is a very small market, I don't know. Unless it can hop on the back of something else that's bigger, I don't think you could do it. Unless someone's got 10 million to spend. Then you come down to the thickness of the sensor layer. If you ideally you would like no thickness, so that you just count where the electron went through. If you count If you do that, unfortunately, you don't have any signal. And then you need your electronics to be so much better. So as you make it thicker, you get more signal, but then you allow the electrons to scatter. So you start getting diffusion, scattering. Not diffusion, but scatter of the electrons. Scatter loses information. Diffusion doesn't lose information. So as you make it thicker, you get more diffusion, so you actually need bigger pixels, and then you get more scattering. So the Falcon gets big signal by having a thick sensitive layer, but it needs a big pixel. The other thing, you can play with the sensor layer. And what you do here is you change what's called high res. You change the amount of doping in your sensitive layer. And the amount of doping determines the amount of screening. That depends. You have the diodes that are sucking in electrons. If there's a depletion region around the outside, any electron going into that depletion region gets sucked straight into the diode. By going to high resistivity substrates, you can suck electrons from a greater distance into the diode, so they spread less. Because they spread less, you get more of the actual signal in one pixel, but because you get more of the signal in one pixel, you start seeing the pixel shape. So there is going to be a compromise. If you do start getting the pixel shape, then that will be convolved with your image, and you will have to take it out. There will be another parameter in your imaging. And the other thing is speed. You really want these things to be faster. You don't want to wait a long time. And you want low noise. So you can use what I've got, CDS is for correlated double sampling. These things read out voltages, so you can actually reset them, then read the voltage they're at without destroying that voltage, and then read the signal after you've got that. By doing that, you can reduce one set of noise, but it slows down the detector. You can do CDS on the chip, which would give you lower noise, but whether or not that's radiation hard hasn't been tested. But CDS would give you lower noise, which would enable you to see the periphery of your vents with greater accuracy, which would then enable you to determine where your events were to higher degree, and therefore give you a bigger MTF and higher DQE for the higher spatial frequency. So, the future. I can show that counting on the Falcon 3 works really well. But unfortunately, cryo-EM has taken off, so our microscopes are now booked 7 days a week, and it's very hard to get time on our microscopes. And I want to set this up. It takes me half a day to set up what I want to do, and by that time, something else goes wrong. So hopefully, because one of our microscopes is down at the moment, I can still do my results, so I can check that I can do it better. A direct electron and FEI should introduce a counting mode. They perhaps might cut down the range that they image. So if FEI cut down from 4K to 4K by 1K, they would go four times faster. So that's 76 frames per second, which if they can count better than the K2, so okay, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, if you've got non-drifting or you can do drift correction because your data is better, then it's not a problem. Hopefully that will push Gatan to then improve their performance, and then that will push direct electron and Falcon. So that's the advantage of having competition. Unfortunately, in the microscopes, don't seem to have any competition. Finally, I'm told this is never going to happen. The prices are never coming down. So, summary, the future is counting, but not yet. You can count the K2, but Falcon's better at higher spatial frequency, so there's an argument. But when you get a detector that counts, that's better. The Falcon 3 is about as good as you can get. Counting, you can improve. And so it's got to be better than the Falcon 3. Perfect images will still not be nice, especially when you consider the ice background in them. And as I'm told, prices should come down, but they won't come down until the market is saturated. And finally, I'd like to thank Richard, Wazi, Shasha, Vinoth, Shores, and everyone at the LMB, Renato and Nicola, who designed the chips for Insight, and Martin for lending me a charger. And he lent it for me for free, and he works for FEI.
Thanks very much, Greg. It was extremely interesting. Everything that you said was true, except the prices will come down. let's have an executive decision. Should we have two or three questions, or?
I guess my feeling would be, let's hold the questions to the panel, simply because we're going to try to do a picture and lunch and get back here by 1 o'clock. And remember, too, we have 3x5 cards out there. If you don't want to ask a question in person or you want to make sure your question gets to the panel, there are 3x5 cards. So if